Now I would like to read with you, please, in the book of the Psalms, number 14. Psalm number 14. And we'll read, please, at verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Or another interpretation, there is no God for me. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of man to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now come back with me, please, to the book of Genesis and chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, and we read to begin at verse 1, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Verse 12. And the man said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now just look down the chapter 2. Verse 25, And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, another reading, please, the last reading in Isaiah, prophecy of Isaiah, and chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, 1 verse here, verse 22, Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Now I am very conscious in the reading of these scriptures tonight. I believe God will bless the reading of them. I'm conscious of the fact that they're taken from the Old Testament scriptures. But we have much New Testament truth in the scriptures that we have read, and we would like to bring to our attention that which we feel would be a help to those in our meeting who perhaps are not saved tonight. What we read in Psalm number 14, and I might tell you at the beginning of what I have to say, that really what's upon my mind are to look at three outstanding looks that we have read about. Perhaps another one, if the Lord permits, if there's time. But I think of Psalm number 14 as a look of investigation. It says that the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any that were righteous. He found that there was none. We read that there was none that doeth good, no, not one. Now we could have turned over to the Epistle of the Romans chapter 3 and found the very same words quoted by the Apostle Paul, that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. A look of investigation. Then we read in Genesis chapter 19 of another look there, and it was the look that Lot's wife gave back to the city, the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah, and I thought of that as a look of presumption. Here was a woman who had heard the word of God, who knew how to be saved, if we could put it that way, if she was obedient to the servants of God, the angels that led them out of the cities of destruction, but she presumed to look back into those cities to disobey the word of God, and the judgment of God fell upon Lot's wife. That's why the Lord reminds us in the New Testament how those simple words, remember Lot's wife. Because she was a woman who presumed on the mercy of God, and she lost her soul. Then we have read in Isaiah of a look of salvation. The Lord said, look unto me, and be ye saved. For I am God, and there is none else. And friend, it's one look to Calvary that we were singing about tonight that will bring the soul out of the bondage of sin into the glorious light and liberty of the children of God. We might have read over in Luke chapter 16, where so often we read in gospel meetings and reminded ourselves of a man who after he died, it says he lift up his eyes being in torments. And for him, it was a look of consternation, a look of judgment, because God's judgment is ahead for everyone that dies without Christ and without a Savior. But come to Psalm 14 for a few moments. Here we have the expression, God looked down from heaven. Came to my mind today, and I don't know, before any of the experiences of the day, these thoughts came to my mind in connection with these looks, I believe, put there. At least I would trust by the Spirit of God. But during the day, we had opportunity to look over the city of Vancouver. We looked over the city in some measure from the SkyTrain. We looked over the city from a place where we visited our brother in his home tonight. And we looked down over the many acres of the city of Vancouver. And I thought to myself, as we looked down, of course, we couldn't see very much, but lights, and we could see the various roadways, and we could see the traffic and all that. But I thought, I wonder what God sees when He looks down from heaven. I remember different times we've been up in the CN Tower in the city of Toronto. I knew a Christian in the meeting. He's home in heaven now. His son was the man who was responsible for putting the topmost piece on the CN Tower in the city of Toronto, over 1,400 feet in the air. And I stood away up there, and I looked down, and cars were so small, and people were just like ants. You could hardly see them down there upon the ground. And I thought, as I looked down upon that scene below me, I thought, I wonder, what does God see when He looks down? We can see the exterior. And because of our humanity and the dimness of our eyes, we can only see a certain distance. And it reminds me of the scripture that says, God, a man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And friend, God looks down from heaven. And what does he see? He sees mankind that have turned their back upon him. Men that are saying in their heart, no God for me. I'm not interested in the God of heaven. Only interested in what is taking place round about me. And as you look down and you see what's going on in the world around us, it seems as though the majority, in fact, I'm positive that the majority of people today have no time for God, and no time to stop and think about eternity, and no time to really meditate on the fact that they have a soul that is going to exist forever, as long as God Almighty exists, as long, friend, as he sits on heaven's throne. That soul of yours is going to exist either in heaven above or in hell beneath. Now, friend, isn't it your wisest move to consider these eternal things and to make sure that you know where your soul is going to be forever? I've sometimes thought, as those men sail around in the satellites around the earth, why, they get a distant view of the earth. They see it altogether differently than we do. And then, of course, some of you have seen some of the pictures that they take. And they're able to blow up those pictures so that you can actually see blocks of city streets. In fact, they tell me that they can bring those pictures up so large that they can see the actual name on a letterbox. They say that they've done that in the United States, where you could see U.S. mail printed right on one of those postage boxes. Now, friend, that's only man's ingenuity. But, friend, God looks right into the heart. God knows your heart tonight. He knows my heart. He knows whether I'm sincere in the preaching of the gospel. And, friend, we trust and we believe that we have that sincerity of heart, because we know that you have a soul that is going to exist eternally, and we long to see your soul saved by the grace of God. There's not one in our company tonight that we would ever have any desire to see miss the great salvation, because, friend, these things are eternal. We can afford to fool around with things that are temporal, things that aren't going to last. And that's what people are going in for. Getting all they can round about them down here. A few possessions. A little money in the bank. A few of the things that would make it a little more pleasant for our living conditions here. But friend, after all, we're only here for a moment. We're here for a short time. And we're gone forever. 60 years and 10. And if by reason of strength 80. And we know some among us that have lived to over the 100 years mark. But friend, what's 100 years compared with eternity? And the majority of people don't live their 60 years and 10. And friend, you're facing eternity. Not just this life. Forget about this life for a little while. And just think about eternity. What will it be like to spend eternity under the judgment of God forever? Because you have sinned against God, and your sins demand the punishment of God. I would sooner spend the time telling you about an eternity in heaven. That's going to be the portion of every saint of God. And I want to tell you, friend, sometimes, and I'm sure it echoes in the hearts of lots of believers today, sometimes when the sorrows and the trials of life overtake you, and they will, you feel like saying, Lord, come today. I'd like to go home. Eternity with him. The ages to come he's going to show unto us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus and throughout all the ages that lie ahead. And there's no end to those ages. The ages of the ages, the Bible says. He's going to continually unfold his grace to us. My, what a day it's going to be for the child of God. But friend, to think of dying in your sin and being in hell for all eternity. God looks down upon you tonight, friend, and what does he see? I hope you see someone in this company and you've made up your mind, I'd like to get this matter settled. I'd like to be saved. I don't want to go on without Christ. We read about a woman here, and her heart was in Sodom. I don't know where your heart is tonight. Maybe you've made up your mind, I'm going to have my enjoyment in the world. I'll get saved sometime, but I'm not going to get this matter settled just now. I want to tell you, friend, that's dangerous ground. That's perilous ground. Because, friend, you're walking, I sometimes feel like telling people they're just walking on a rotten covering that could give way at any time. Any moment, friend, you could go out into eternity. When I looked down from the brother's apartment today, and I looked over all those city lights and those streets, and the police were going down this way, and an ambulance was going the other way, and all over the city, there's people experiencing accident, and some of them being ushered out into eternity. I wondered if there would be anybody in our company who would experience something like that and miss the greatest blessing that God could give them. These two young people in our company, I won't mention their names, 5 years ago sat in gospel meetings just like you're sitting in. Returning home, just down the street, witnessed an accident that made them think so solemnly about eternity that those two young people didn't rest until they knew that their sins were forgiven. I want to tell you, friend, it's too serious a business just to set to one side and say, well, I'll look into it sometime. My friend, God is giving you opportunity now, and the day of grace is almost over. At any moment we could hear the shout, and we'd be caught up to be with our blessed Lord. Now I want you to think about this woman for a moment. Here was a woman along with her husband, living in the wrong place. Of course, they were down in Sodom, and they shouldn't have been down there, but there they were. He was a righteous man. The Bible tells us that he was. Vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the filthy conversation of the wicked round about him. But nevertheless, God in his mercy was going to take the man out of the city. And such was the wickedness of Sodom. And friend, I don't think Sodom in that day was any more wicked than the day in which we're living. We're living in a day of sodomy. We're living in a day when anything goes. The hearts of men won't be restrained, and they'll do whatever they want to do today. And there are things going on that I would be ashamed to mention here from a public platform. But friend, there's a condition of sodomy today in this world round about us. And I tell you, the judgment of God is hovering like a thick cloud, and one of these days will fall in all its fury upon a wicked, sinful world. And God is going to send, friend, men and women into a bosom of destruction because of the way they live in their wickedness and sin. Oh, you say, but that's not me. I don't live that kind of a life, friend. Never mind. You're still in a city that's bound for destruction. You're in a place where the judgment of God is going to fall. And the word to these people was, escape for thy life. Tarry not in all the plain. Escape to the mountain. And friend, I want to tell you tonight, It's time for you to get down to business to make your escape from the judgment of God that's coming. This woman, she heard a plain message. Very plain. Escape for thy life. Friend, our message tonight is escape for your life. If you mean to escape the judgment of God, friend, then get down to business now. Comes to my mind, we're having cottage meetings in the city of Corner Brook, Newfoundland, where I'm living, many, many years ago. We'd be back in the early 50s, 40 years ago. And in those gospel meetings, cottage meetings in a home way up one of the hillsides, number of people used to gather every night. One night a young man came into those meetings. His name was Gus Park, and Gus came into the meetings. He came for two or three nights, and then I could see that Gus was very disturbed about these things. And one night when the rest had gone, Gus kind of hung around, and so I talked to Gus. I said, Gus, what about it? What about your soul? I said, Gus, would you like to be saved? He said, yes, Mr. Joyce, I would like to be saved. He said, I see that it's very important, that it's vital. Well, I said, Gus, when would you like to be saved? Well, he said, I have to tell you, Mr. Joyce, he said, I can't get saved tonight. I said, why can't you get saved tonight? He said, I can't tell you the reason, but he said, I can't get saved tonight. I'll get saved another time, but not tonight. You know what I found out? I found out that after Gus left that meeting, he had an engagement with a young woman, and he wasn't prepared to make the choice for his soul that night. You say, did he ever make the choice? Gus was never back to a gospel meeting. Never back. A few years later, I heard of Gus. He was down in his boat, for he was a fisherman. And the motor caught fire, and the fire caught some of the gasoline that had spilled into the bilge. And the man got burned badly, and he was taken to the hospital. He survived that. And I thought, Gus, God is dealing with you. You can't fool around with God. You can't put off this most important matter. Just about two years ago, I went into the hospital to visit a man that I knew that was dying. And I went to his bedside, and I spoke to him. And I looked across at the other bed, and I must admit I didn't recognize the man in the other bed. But as I moved about the room a little, I happened to look at the name on the end of the bed, and to my amazement, I saw the name Gus Park. I went over, I said, Gus, because he hadn't said anything. I said, Gus, do you know me? He said, yes, I know you, Mr. Joyce. I said, Gus, it's been a good many years since I saw you. I said, Gus, what about your soul? Are you saved? He dropped his head and his eyes. He said, no, Mr. Joyce, I'm not saved. What about it, Gus? I couldn't get any response from that man. And I fear lest he lands in the awful flames of hell. A man who heard the gospel. A man who desired salvation. And friend, if you're here tonight and you're without Christ, it's escape for thy life. Tarry not in all the plain, friend. Don't let the world keep you from getting the greatest blessing that God could give you. I used to think in my young mind, won't it be nice when I can get away from the influence of home, when I don't have to go to meetings every night. My, I thought that would be great. Just to get away from it all and to get out into the world and have my fling and enjoy myself in the world. Oh, I thank God many and many a time, friend, that God stopped me before I got to that place because I might never have been saved. There came a time when I acknowledged my sin. I had to admit, oh God, I'm a guilty sinner. I'm bound for hell. Escape for thy life. I was thinking of this, I thought, a few years ago. Different situation now, but a few years ago over in Germany, when that Berlin Wall was still standing, some of those East Berliners, they would do anything to escape, to get to freedom. Some of them tried to tunnel underneath the wall. Some of them tried to crash through the gates. Some of them tried to float over the wall in a balloon. I read an interesting incident of a man who went to the trouble over many weeks and months of building a glider, a little powered glider that took off, and he was able to get across over the wall and far enough away. I think he landed in the water or something, but he managed to get to shore. Others went out and they swam around miles to try and escape. All the different methods that they used to get away from the land where they felt they were in bondage. And friend, I thought, how many sinners tonight there are, and they're in the bondage of Satan, and on their way down to hell, and they're not making any attempt to escape. My friend, the message is escape for thy life. It's an urgent message. This woman, she heard a plain message. There was a positive danger. Judgment was going to come. God had said that he was going to destroy that city. But God never sends judgment without providing a way of escape. Can you imagine those two angels coming right into Lot's home? Can you imagine those angels taking Lot by the hand, taking his wife by the hand, taking his two daughters by the hand, and away they go, and they hurry them out of the city, because they know the judgment is coming. Oh, friend, if we could... I know we're not angels, but I wish we could take you by the hand and lead you to the foot of the cross, to the bleeding, dying Lamb of God, the one who died to put away your sin. Friend, we'd like to... Night after night, those men go down, and sisters too, and what do? They take you by the hand, and they take you to the throne of grace. I want to tell you, friend, if you're here in this meeting and you're not saved, if you've been raised in a Christian home, or if you've been brought out by friends to hear the gospel, your name has been lifted to the throne of God, and it's just like the angels taking the hands of those people and hurrying them out of the city. We would take you. The thing is, we can't save you. We can only take you to God's throne and leave you there and say, Lord, save them. Open their eyes to see that the judgment is coming. And I'm afraid there's someone you're going to get that close. You know what's going to happen? You're going to go out from a gospel meeting. You're going to take a look around. You're going to say with another, give me just a little longer, for the world looks now so bright. And Lot's wife got up the hillside. She knew that the way of escape was to go on to the place of safety. But Lot's wife was in love with Sodom. And in her presumption, she turned and she looked back into that city. The judgment of God fell upon her. It was swift. It was immediate. Because, friend, here was a woman with pressing messengers that were taking her out of the city that presumed to look back. The Lord Jesus said, no man putting his hand to the plow and turning back is fit for the kingdom of God. My friend, listen, if you ever intend to get saved, you get that matter settled now. Get it settled tonight. Where are you going to look? Never mind looking at the city. Never mind looking at the world. Look away to Calvary. What does it say? Look unto me, the Lord says, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And friend, the promise comes from God tonight that if you're willing to look to Him, salvation can be yours. I keep doing this every night, and I feel like apologizing, going over my brother's time. But friend, you've got to look away to the cross. Look away to Calvary. You remember C.H. Spurgeon, that wonderful preacher? As a young fellow wandering through the streets of London, going to his own place of worship, but it was a wild, stormy night. And he thought he heard, he saw a little place there, a little church building, and he decided to go in there instead of going to where he was planning to go. But it was a bad night, and there was very few that came. And he got up in the gallery. He was the only one up there, all by himself. And the preacher didn't even make it. And a poor, unlearned man, I think he was a blacksmith, maybe. Or a shoemaker, I forget what he was now, but he got up on the platform, and he tried to preach. Like some of us, he didn't do very good at it, but at least he had a text, and this was his text. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And he looked yonder at the man in the gallery, the young fellow there, and he said, young man, he said, you look miserable. And he said, you'll always be miserable unless you obey my text. Look unto me and be saved, for I am God and there is none else. Spurgeon says he just looked away because the man explained how Christ died for him on the cross, looked away to Calvary, and he got saved that night. Friend, you can get saved tonight. God help you to flee to Christ as the meeting goes on.